You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here. Full cast of characters. We don't have Harmon's sister on the podcast today.
Nope.
Alas. We do have a representative from West Virginia, though. Matt Harmon is here.
Well, to be fair, I think the conclusion that we drew from her appearance on the podcast was that we can't be sure, apparently. Although, let me just say,
the conclusion is that
until we see the birth certificate and tax audits and things like that.
Well, I mean,
and the emails.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, we
need the
emails.
It's the Harmon birth. I'm a Harmon birther, dude.
My birth certificate is in our apartment. You jerk. I can show it to you when we get home. Yes. Just a funny note on Emily's appearance on the podcast. You know, she was walking as soon as she got here to LA. She said to us on Wednesday night, "I'm trying to get discovered. What do you think the odds are I'll get discovered walking down the street here?" And Galhar's response was, "Oh, that's so cute. You're so from out of town."
Oh, dude.
but the best part is that one of her friends texted her, "Hey, I listen to your brother's podcast all the time. Way to make your 10 minutes of fame all about West Virginia and a frickin' table. No wonder agents are not knocking on your door."
Wow.
Jeez.
I was like, well, that was kind of a good point, Em. You could have said anything else.
Oh, my goodness. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's up?
I'm playing hurt today.
Are you? A little
bit,
sick?
A little bit stuffy.
A little bit sniffles?
A little bit sniffly. Yeah. I'm questionable.
Okay.
I'm always questionable.
You're a game time decision.
But yeah, I'm gonna battle through though.
All right. Fair enough. I like it. Whiskey from Wisconsin. Alex Gelhar, what's up?
Feeling old today, but other than that, it's
oh,
good.
Bro, it's your birthday.
This is true.
Prove
it's
it. Your birthday.
Yeah, I'll let's get see my your birth certificate.
the franchise, the Magical Beard of Fantasy, is in the building. What's up?
I'm also playing hurt today emotionally because I got smashed in fantasy on Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, franchise was complaining all Sunday.
It was a moral loss.
He was on tilt from the opening kickoff.
Wait, hold on now. Is this in the writers, producers?
This is in my league of record.
Okay, good.
That I've been in for several years.
Okay.
That's very competitive.
And you were battling for a playoff spot?
It's pretty heated right now.
Oh, is it?
I could miss the playoffs on the points four tiebreaker, but having two Houston Texans on your team doesn't help on Sundays with the stress levels.
We got a big time show in front of us here today. We will talk about Pac-12 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh,
believe
yeah.
it or not, we'll also put some teams on tank alert. And the reason I bring this up is because when teams are out of it, I get a lot of concerns as to whether or not their stars will play. We'll talk about what that means moving forward. We'll be talking about the Jags. We'll be talking about the Cardinals. We will be talking about the Niners and the Panthers as well. Of course, we'll give you your top scorers. We'll give you your biggest fantasy disappointments. And we will hit that waiver wire hard, baby. And, of course, close out the show with Daily Depth. But we open the show, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Who wants the news? Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, we'll start in New England. Gronkowski. Rob Gronk Gronkowski. Back injury. Left the game. 0 points. It hurt. He's missed three games already. He's, quote-unquote, played in two others where he was extremely limited. I think that first game back, actually, he was more of a decoy. I don't even know if he saw any.
I think he had one target. Yeah, maybe
one target, maybe.
Yeah. It was way over his head.
It was in the red zone, though.
He was in the end zone. It was way over his head.
But in those two games, he was extremely limited or did not finish. So now we're talking about five games where he gave you zero. In the five other games where he was actually fully healthy, he put up three 100-plus yard games and three touchdowns. So when he's healthy, he's a beast. But I'll ask you guys this. It's clear he's not healthy. I know we're going to wait on injury news later in the week, but how worried should you be? We'll start with you, MG.
Well, I think you were worried. I think you're worried about the accumulation of injuries. And I know you talked about the tank alert. Not that the Patriots are tanking or anything, but
they're the anti-tanking.
They're the anti-tanking, but you do wonder if he's banged up, if he's nicked up, and with the Pats getting closer to pretty much locking up everything of importance in the AFC.
Well, the Raiders got a little something to say about
that's true.
That.
The Raiders will keep maybe that's the whole point. Maybe we need to cheer for the Raiders to keep winning so the Patriots have to keep playing hard.
Oh man, that's
all their guys.
That is a backdoor fantasy move right there. You're cheering for the Raiders so that Gronk plays.
So playing, right?
Oh, God.
We're in the silly part of the
yeah,
fantasy
dude.
Season now when
like
we start
it.
Coming up with theories
like
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean there is some concern. I mean obviously he's been banged up and they know they need him for a postseason run, so you do wonder how much they're going to just kind of slowly bring him along to make sure he's ready for when they really need him.
Well, and the thing that concerns me about the injury, although I was more concerned last night, reports seem better today about his injury. They don't feel it's serious, but it is the back, which has plagued him dating back to his days at college.
Oh, that's true. He had back surgery back at
That was his medical red flag coming out
about
of college, what kind of went sunk him to round two. But reports seem that it's not serious, that he's got on track to potentially play, so that's good news. I mean, if they sit him out a week, maybe that's for the best, but I mean, and this is kind of a tease towards the waiver wire. Even if Gronk does go away, they have a lot of pass catchers there who are stepping up. Harmon's favorite, Malcolm Mitchell.
Oh my gosh,
Chris
2 weeks
Hogan,
in a row.
He's been healthy.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Amendola is on the team, and then Julian Edelman is getting a lot of receptions. So
okay,
that is a fact.
All right, I want you to save that Malcolm Mitchell heat for the waiver wire. We'll get to that in a bit. Andrew Luck returned to practice. He's expected back in Week 13 versus the Jets. By the way, he plays on Monday Night Football, so he's got a lot of time. To clear that concussion protocol. Derek Carr reportedly dislocated his right pinky finger, missed one series.
Oh, he did. It was gross. Did you not see it?
No, it was disgusting.
They replayed it like a million times.
It was pretty gruesome.
I was on the couch, and there was a discussion going on the two people on side of me on NFL Now, and I was watching the game, and I saw him pull his hand out, and it saw his pinky pointing down, and I was like, ugh!
Yeah, it was
really awkward.
I was more worried that he might have broken something.
Yeah, thankfully we dodged a bullet there.
So dislocated, that's why I'm saying reportedly dislocated right pinky finger. He came back with a glove on. Did throw a pick in that series. He came back, but
dislocated it in two places. This, according to
how did it not break? If
a source,
dislocate
a source close to Derek Carr, namely David Carr,
okay,
says apparently it's dislocated in two places.
Those two don't seem like they're all that.
Can't
close.
I don't know. If we can
yeah, it's not like Aaron Rodgers and his brothers. I mean, it's from then on, though, after the pick, he played pretty well. I'm not too worried about him. Bills in Week 13, I think he should be fine. Devontae Parker hurt his back in his matchup. He left the game, did not return. The O-line has been decimated as well. Matt Harmon, I'll ask you about Jay Ajayi. Any concerns there? Not just the O-line. I mean, obviously, having the O-line just being as banged up as they are. But also, I mean, you lose one of your top outside receivers as well. It really does allow the defense to kind of sneak safeties into the box, make it really difficult to run. Concerns about Jay Ajayi?
I mean, I don't know if I'm that concerned. I mean, we knew he wasn't going to rattle off 200-yard performances left and right like he did to start. You still got a pretty good fantasy day out of him, even though he only averaged 2.5 yards per carry because he scored the touchdown. He got 18 rush attempts in total. I don't think that they're going to change off that identity. I would still say that he's a clear-cut running back one the rest of the way. I would say that Ajayi benefits the receivers more than the receivers benefit Ajayi.
Anyone else disagree with that? Three offensive linemen gone Starting O-lineman gone off.
Brandon Albert sounds like he will be ready next week, though, from what I was seeing on Twitter.com.
I'm concerned because this was against the 49ers, who are the worst rush defense in the league, and he only had 45 rushing yards on 18 attempts. Like you said, he got in the end zone, so fantasy owners aren't going to care because he got the touchdown.
But
2.5 yards per carry is his lowest of the season.
It's a big red flag.
And coming up the next two games, they face Baltimore and the Cardinals, which are the top two of the top run defenses in the league. So
if one or two
of those offensive linemen starting guys can't get back there, then I think you got to lower expectations for Ajayi the next couple games.
To be fair, though, I mean, I know the Niners are bad against the run, but they did this to David Johnson, too, where they limited him to only, I believe, 2.4 yards or 2.89 yards per carry. And, you know, they've shown that when they dedicate all their resources to stopping the run, they can actually stop the run. Of course, it
they
just
give
means,
up the pass.
Yeah, then they're just going to get beat to hell in the back end. So, I mean, I would say that we've seen them do this to a top-end running back before when they sell out to do it, and they did certainly do that last week. Yeah.
Wiz, any long-term concerns regarding Ajayi?
Nah, I think everybody kind of hit it. We just got to wait and see, especially with this offensive line. Because you said Brandon Albert, I think, was close to coming back. And I think Tunsil almost played this week, too.
Yeah,
so he was close.
They could have two of those three guys back, and that'd be a huge boost.
John Brown in Arizona tweaked a hammy, left, did not return. I'm not exactly sure the severity of the hamstring injury. We'll wait for later in the week to see if he's good to go or not. I don't even know if it matters. Patrick Peterson said his knee hurts like hell. He's going to try to play through it. They got Washington next week. Oh, by the way, this is called a tease. We're going to have more on the Cardinals in just a bit.
All right,
let's talk about the Pac-12 quarterbacks that played on Sunday. Jared Goff, does he mean anything for the Rams players moving forward? Look, he had three touchdowns against the Saints in the first half, and I got to be honest with you, I was impressed by what I saw on the field from Jared Goff. Does it mean anything for those skill position guys?
I love that this is an entire section in the podcast.
Well,
rundown.
It's James' West Coast, yeah. West Coast bias coming out a little bit. But
I'm not going to knock it.
Whoa, let me finish. It was a fun way to add a new segment that actually ties a lot of these guys together.
It does indeed.
As for Goff and the Rams, I think the one thing that's concerning is this week was fun to see him. I mean, that first pass to Tavon had a beautiful touch on it.
Exactly.
He did some other good things. However, my concern is that he completely fell off a cliff in the second half,
and
I'm wondering if that's the case where he was on those first 15 highly scripted plays, executed those to perfection, and then afterwards when it's like, all right, let's make adjustments, let's read what the defense is doing, fell off there. So I'm not going to elevate anybody a ton off of this. I would feel maybe a little better starting Kenny Britt than I did with Keenum, but not a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? He showed that he was functional.
And he's got a big arm.
And that's important because in his first start, he was completely non-functional. He was 0 for 5 on passes that traveled farther than 10 yards in the air.
Yep.
In his first start, and he was 4 for 9 for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns on those passes. So, I mean, he just showed like, hey, I'm not going to completely tank this.
Right.
This is all well and good, and this is all cute. They're playing the Patriots next week.
Patriots defense hasn't been great, though.
That's true, but Bill Belichick eats rookie quarterbacks for breakfast.
It's true.
I would like to see is I think this coming week would be a good litmus test, too, because week one, you know, first start in the rain, just awful, awful situations all around. Second start in the perfect controlled climate of the dome, like got everything going right away. Now he's going to be in New England, potential weather, who knows, whatever. Let's see what he does that week, and then we can adjust expectations going forward.
Can I at least say this? Is he a potential streamer in Week 14 against the Falcons?
Potentially.
Sure.
Could get spicy.
Sure.
All right.
It wouldn't surprise us.
We'll leave it up in the air.
Yeah.
All right. Do you feel better about Chicago's offense since Matt Barkley didn't look like he was completely, as Matt Harmon said, what'd you say? Unfunctional or
dysfunctional? Or he was not. He was the opposite of not functional, which is functional.
He's functional. Matt Barkley was actually throwing the ball around pretty well. He was not helped by his receivers at all. I think they counted 9 drop passes.
I saw 10 unofficially on Twitter. I don't know if 9 was the official count, but
not good.
I also think he attempted over 50 passes.
54. 28 for 54.
Do you feel better about the Chicago offense? Jordan Howard there, Cameron Meredith, and I don't even know who their tight ends are. They were a bunch catching passes.
Daniel Brown.
Dan Brown took the most snaps.
Baby. Oh, my God.
I'll just jump in. I don't feel that much better. This game seemed more like an anomaly and just one where everything was inflated by volume.
Yeah.
I mean, he still only had 5.85 yards per attempt. He threw 2 interceptions in the red zone. One was terrible. So his guys didn't help him out. But, I mean, at least for the near future, if he's going to throw this type of volume, like Marcus Wilson saw 11 targets, Cam Meredith saw 9, like, those guys will have some relevancy in positive matchups, or, you know, ones where the
Bears are at home against the 49ers?
Against the 49ers this week. So, you know, this could be another week where I'm not starting him.
No, no, I'm not. Look, no one's starting Jared Goff. Nobody's starting Matt Barkley. I get that part. But, you know, Matt Harmon has done a great job of explaining how, look, you want to tie yourself to fantasy assets that are tied to at least functional quarterbacks. You know what I mean? And I think the big concern in Chicago and in L.A. was that, look, Jared Goff's not ready. Matt Barkley sucks. The offense, I want no pieces of it. And as a matter of fact, I remember our last podcast, we were talking about Chicago. Nobody wanted a piece of any Chicago asset. And yet, I think going into Week 13 versus the 49ers, I think we're softening our stance a little bit on that, no?
I'm with you in the fact that I think that this was good enough to say that, yeah, we could see an NFL-level offense, like a 32nd-level NFL offense, but an NFL offense nonetheless being played in Chicago with Matt Barkley there. I do think this says more about the Titans' defense, which I don't think gets enough flack for being like a bottom five unit, especially pass defense. They released Parrish Cox this morning too. Whew. So, I mean, they're a team that I think we can target with impunity going forward. But also, like, we talk about this and we'll obviously preview the game on Friday because we preview every damn game on Friday. But this Chicago-San Francisco game is really interesting because they're both bad offenses, both bad defenses.
Right.
Those games usually either end 6-3 or 56-43. You know,
I was going to say the same thing. This has the feeling of one of those games that is like a 45-42. There's touchdowns all over the place.
That'd be great.
Players we've never heard of are catching touchdowns.
Ooh.
I mean, that's how this game against Tennessee was. I mean, Deontay Thompson, I mean, Marcus Wilson was completely off the radar, but he's a talented player that just got off the PUP.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, same game. Marcus Mariota continues to impress. 262 through the air, 2 touchdowns, 46 rush yards. Unfortunately, he's on a stupid Week 13 bye.
Yeah. Ugh.
So we'll skip over him for now. Brock Osweiler still sucks. 246 through the air, 3 interceptions, man.
Vultured a nice 1-yard touchdown run there from Lamar Miller.
That was the worst.
Put me on full tilt.
Oh my God. Well,
that's because he's 6'10 this week, I think, apparently.
he's seven feet.
He will literally be 8 feet tall by the time he retires.
I like it.
Which, because he's a tall white quarterback, will be 50 years from now.
That's true.
They last forever.
His time, there were a lot of questions as to whether, coming into the week, whether or not he would be retaining the starting job there in Houston, and those voices got a whole hell of a lot louder after this game. But again, Bill O'Brien says he's going to stick with good old Brock.
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo. So spicy. That would be so spicy.
Staying in Texas.
Billick just smiled when you said that. he's real happy. We've got the Billick cam up.
Billick cam is up and running.
He's been on point today, too.
Oh, dude.
No snacks, but good facial expressions.
And also, the image that he's looking into stares straight into the camera that we're looking in.
Yeah.
It looks like he's judging us with hard eyes.
He's taking notes on what we're saying.
Which he is.
Okay.
I just grabbed his eyes like, oh, my God.
These guys are idiots. In Arizona, Carson Palmer showing signs of life or no? 289 through the air, 2 touchdowns and an interception. I ask because in Week 13, he's got a great matchup against Washington at home. Carson Palmer showing signs of life or not?
Their leading receivers were their running back, which, you know, we all know David Johnson's a great pass catcher, but it was their running back and Jermaine Kearse. I mean, Jermaine Gresham. Sorry, I mixed up my mediocre Jermaines.
He had 10 targets.
He has not seen that many targets since week, I believe it was December 22nd, 2014 with the Bengals the last time he saw double-digit targets.
Every time I looked up, Jermaine Gresham was catching a ball.
I know.
Which just speaks to the complete talk about not functional, the dysfunctional nature of the pass-catching group outside of Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson. I mean, Michael Floyd came into this game banged up. John Brown, poor guy, can't catch a break. I mean, he had the concussion in the offseason, which slowed him in the start of the year. Then he got the sickle cell thing early or mid-season. Then he comes into this game. Bruce Arians is as healthy as he's been all year. Hurts his hamstring.
See ya.
So
I felt like this was kind of a no-win situation for Carson Palmer this week, is that you were going against a team with a bad secondary that scores a lot of points. So you were going to be forced to throw the football. So if he put up a good fantasy number, it was like, well, you were supposed to.
Yeah.
If he didn't put up a good fantasy number, it's like, well, now everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I have any greater level of confidence this week against a Washington team that really hasn't been bad defensively. Like, I don't know that I'm just suddenly all back on board with Carson Palmer.
That's what I was going to say, is I don't like the matchup this week against Washington, actually. They've got a good pass rush. Carson Palmer can't move in the pocket.
His offensive line is all banged up.
They've also got Josh Norman and Bashaud Breeland both playing pretty well. So if they decide Norman, shadow Larry Fitzgerald and let's make those other Jamokes beat us.
Which I doubt they would because Fitzgerald plays in the slot.
Yeah, Fitzgerald plays in the slot a lot, so that's doubtful, but like, still, I mean, so it's not a great matchup for them on paper. I'm still way off of Carson Palmer.
Oh boy. Jared Goff, Cal, Barkley, USC, Marcus Mariota, Oregon, Osweiler, Arizona State, Carson Palmer, USC. So there you go.
All right.
Tank alert. I'll bring up some teams that are clearly just, they're out of it, man. And I've got some concerns for the rest of the year. We'll start with the Jaguars, 2-9. Allen Robinson, 24 yards for him, 4 targets, 2 receptions. Concerns there, especially, again, I'll just bring it up. Look, man, like, these guys are not – it's not a video game. They're human beings. I mean, at some point, when you're 2-9, you're not going anywhere. What are you playing for?
Yeah, and Allen Robinson faces Denver, Minnesota, and Houston the next 3 weeks. Those are three of the toughest teams against wide receivers. So.
Oh, my.
It's a rough end-of-the-year schedule.
Yeah.
I would say the one thing that might be different for a team like Jacksonville is I think we know that this team's going to get blown up. Like, the coaching staff will probably go. I think the general manager should probably go.
What's Gus Bradley's record? Like, 1 in 100?
I don't know.
It's bad.
It's not a lot to a lot in terms of the wins and losses.
The SB Nation affiliate Big Cat Country will frequently, after the Jags lose, tweet out, just in a tweet, Bradley's win-loss record.
I think they're almost running out of characters.
They are. It's like L. There's only like 4 or 5 wins.
Unbelievable.
So because of that, I mean, I don't know if players on that team can afford to, like, quit, because they're a young team that needs to show, like, who is going to be our core players when this next coaching staff comes over.
Well, Allen Robinson's not going anywhere, though, right?
No, yeah, but you still want to put out good momentum for the next coaching staff, regime to see when they watch the film of their players.
Can you play this guy, Allen Robinson, moving forward?
No. Not against Denver, Minnesota, and Houston.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, it's just always tough to bench somebody that you know is – almost always going to be locked into a good amount of volume. I mean, this was an outlier game in terms of 4 targets. So, I mean, you accept if you're going to bench him that it could hurt you.
Yeah, except, I mean, maybe this shouldn't have been the example, but it feels like this is the year where I started looking at targets versus quality targets. And I don't know if there's an accurate way to measure that sort of thing, but we talked about it with DeAndre Hopkins, and I think it applies to Allen Robinson that, yeah, sure, their quarterbacks are throwing them the football, but how often are they throwing them the football where we've talked about it on Sundays, how they have to lay out for a ball, or they've got to really make some sort of acrobatic contortionist catch. Yeah, it's a target. It's not a target that you can reasonably expect that they're going to do anything with.
Right.
All right. The sadness in Matt Harmon's face and voice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The Browns are 0-0 forever. I've got some long-term concerns for TPS and Corey Coleman. Anyone share those concerns?
Why, though? Like,
no way, man.
They've been playing within this situation all year.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Terrell Pryor's been sick all year.
Yeah.
It's true.
And Corey Coleman is, I mean, when he's been healthy, especially this past week, he caught a touchdown. Seven targets. I think he's locked in for, like, 7 targets, and Terrell Pryor is locked in for about 10, and, you know, I mean, again, talk about quality targets versus targets, but the opportunity is still there. So, I mean, these guys have been playing in this situation all year.
The Bengals, 3-7-1, pretty much out of
it. I don't want to circle back just real quick, though, about the Browns, too. Just, again, talking about motivation, like, that team needs and wants to win.
They want
to
win.
You could hear it in Hugh Jackson in the press conference.
Like, he almost cried.
He was legit. Probably had been crying and was going to cry again. I mean, you don't want to be an 0-16 team.
No, you do not.
So, I mean, those guys Terrell Pryor, you know, God bless him, has been, like, classy about this whole thing, too. Like,
oh, my God, he was getting torched on Twitter from that DB.
Janoris Jenkins. Oh, he was just quote-tweeting, like, you played a good game, buddy, after Janoris is like, you ain't, you know what.
Oh, I know, it was crazy. And the crazy thing was, Terrell Pryor had a good game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
6 catches.
I'm not really sure what Janoris Jenkins was talking about.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
Well, you can look at Janoris's history and question whether he has made a lot of questionable decisions.
He's come at the wrong people a few times in the past.
Yeah, that's true.
Wasn't he the notch on the bedpost?
He was the notch on the bedpost.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Bengals, I don't know if they're mathematically eliminated. I would imagine they are. 3-7-1. Obviously, there's going to be some long-term concerns regarding A.J. Green. He's got that significant strain of his hamstring. I don't know if he... I don't think he's rushing back.
No.
I don't think he's rushing back. I'll ask you guys this. Do you cut bait and try to prepare for the playoffs, knowing that A.J. Green probably not going to help you until maybe even the season's end?
I don't know that I cut bait until the Bengals officially say he's done for the year. But if you have A.J. Green, hopefully you were making contingency plans the moment you found out he was hurt.
Mm.
So that way you at least have something. Chances are, you know, you may have to just stream the position for the last couple of weeks, at least at the flex spot to get you through. But it's A.J. Green. So until I know for sure that he's done for the rest of the year, I don't want to leave him out there on the waiver wire for somebody else to potentially snatch him up.
Did you guys like what you saw from Tyler Boyd and or Brandon LaFell?
I
mean, it was in a tough spot against the Ravens defense. They split targets pretty much down the middle. You have the slight lead, James, right now.
Yeah, buddy.
Keep your wager.
By like 2.5 points?
Yep, yes. Yep.
I'll take it.
Hey, a lead's a lead. But, yeah, it is what it is. There's no clear front runner here out of the two of them. It's not like one of them made more spectacular plays or had more better targets, whatever you want to call it. So we're just kind of in wait-and-see approach. But Rex Burkhead, guys.
Oh, Jeremy Hill got dinged up in that game, and we saw a little bit of Rex Burkhead as well.
Rex
but
Burkhead.
Didn't he come back?
No, he did.
Jeremy Hill had 61 receiving yards, so.
I feel like that's an anomaly, though. I just feel like that's kind of an outlier.
Yeah, but with Geo out, he might be playing.
Have to throw him the ball.
Right.
I don't know. Well, like I said,
Burkhead could get some more work. He only played like two or three fewer offensive snaps than Hill.
I'm not buying into it. Yeah,
get out of here with Burkhead.
I'm just saying.
Not here with Jeremy Hill. I'm definitely not on Burkhead, but I'm off Jeremy.
I think Hill's going to be a fine play down.
Baltimore's also tough against running backs, so you can't really got to take it with a grain of salt.
The Jets at 3-8. I've got some concerns about Brandon Marshall. MG, what say you?
I have concerns too, but the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is back gives me at least a little bit of reason to be reassured because, you know, that Fitz is going to throw the ball in his direction plenty of times. And by the way, I guess word just came out recently as we started this podcast that Todd Bowles says it will be Fitzpatrick again as the starter this week.
Good.
So, I mean, that is reassuring, I am long past the parts of believing that Brandon Marshall is going to be the wide receiver one that you spent probably a second or third round pick on. I mean, I think that ship has sailed for the season, but he can at least be hopefully a wide receiver.
I don't know if you guys watched large portions of that game, but the body language sucks.
From Marshall?
Just for New York.
Oh.
The entire Jets offense, the body language is terrible. I don't know, man. Like I said, I mean, Todd, it's almost they're at the point now where at 3-8, where Todd Bowles says, "Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback," and literally no one cares.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I kind of disagree because I think it would be even worse if they were putting like Bryce Petty out there.
That's true.
Because
they're
not going to put Hackenberg out there. I feel like, which is a little incredible that they spent a second round pick on him, and then they're just not even going to possibly consider in a lost season putting him out there in like week 16 or 17. But that certainly seems like what the tea leaves say. But because if they put Bryce Petty out there, Bryce Petty can't play. Also, he's was a day three pick. He's not like a Christian Hackenberg that was a day two guy. So there's a big difference in the signal that you're sending your team. Like, yeah, we're cooked, we're finished. Like, I don't think they play the Patriots that close. And you talk about body language, and I don't think there's that much motivation on the whole team if they have Petty out there instead of Fitz.
All right, let's go to the NFC. Arizona Cardinals, 4-7. I don't think they're mathematically eliminated, but, boy, they're on life support. There's no question about it. I'll ask you guys about Carson Palmer, Larry Fitz, and actually DJ as well. Any concerns there, considering, again, I'm not sure what the motivation is for these guys. Here's the thing. They're 4-7, right? But they were so close to the Super Bowl, and they had Super Bowl aspirations coming in. This is certainly a very disappointing season for Arizona. I don't know. Like I said, body language, motivation, I wonder what it's going to be for a very veteran team like Arizona.
Nothing about Bruce Arians suggests that he's going to be the kind of guy to shut people down.
It's true.
Now, whether or not guys have their own personal motivation, I mean, you know, Larry Fitzgerald has never seemed to be that guy in his career that he would just quit on a team.
Hell no.
And he balled out through worse teams than
right, man. Exactly. He's been through worse than this.
It's true.
You know, David Johnson, the way he's running, I mean, this is a dude, at least – you know, from a personal standpoint, has a shot at a rushing title, you know, at least a scrimmage yards title, something like that. I mean, yeah.
And I could see Bruce Arians wanting to get him that.
Please get him that. You know, I don't see any of the key parts of this team just shutting down. I mean, John Brown at this point, between injuries and underperformance, has been hard to count on. Michael Floyd has been a huge bust this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Marcus. Yeah. I'd be more concerned in this offense if we had more invested in this offense, but considering we're only trusting David Johnson and maybe Larry maybe Fitzgerald fits, on a weekly basis.
That's a good point.
I have no concerns.
All right. Maybe we'll be talking about Green Bay.
Okay. Maybe.
Oh. All right. The Niners are 1-0. They've got Carlos Hyde, who played well in the last game. Colin Kaepernick was your quarterback one, folks.
Dude, Kaepernick's been on fire.
Any concerns here? I don't know. It's so weird. They're going nowhere, but I don't know. I don't have that many concerns regarding the 49ers. Am I crazy in thinking that?
Well, it's just like Gelhard just asked, like, what are you invested in outside of those two players? No, no pass catcher has seen more than 17, or the highest pass catcher has 17% of the team targets since Colin Kaepernick's taken over. That is Quentin Patton, I think.
Sure.
Curley's right there with him. So not like you're really invested in any of the receivers.
But you might be heavily invested in Carlos Hyde.
That's true, but I think that he's fine. I think those two guys, like, I think Chip Kelly probably I don't think he should be fired at the end of the year. I mean, I think that
I don't think so either.
I think that they should continue to kind of continue to build this system, and whether Kaepernick is probably, because he's played well from a fantasy standpoint, but yeah, it's not like he's been a good quarterback necessarily. So I think they need to continue to see what they have there with him, what they have with this offense set up there. So I think they keep playing the rest of the year, and I think those two guys are still in fine position.
The Panthers at 4-7. You talk about disappointment. You go from the Super Bowl to out of the playoffs, and they look bad. Here's the thing. I really have concerns regarding Cam Newton. Jonathan Stewart's in the mix as well. Kelvin Benjamin obviously tied heavily to Cam Newton as well. But you start talking about body language. Cam Newton's never been a great body language guy. He's never been a guy that's, when they're losing, has shown great body language. I don't know. I got some serious motivational questions regarding Cam Newton. Does anyone share those concerns? Or are you just basically saying, it's cool. I think they'll just play it out.
I would tend to think that they just play it out. I mean, I don't feel very qualified to like talk about like a guy's like motivation personally or whatever, but that's just me. Like, they have a fine schedule, you know, going down the stretch. Like, they have after they play in Seattle this week, which sucks.
Yep.
Then they have San Diego, Washington, and Atlanta, and
it's pretty good,
Tampa
pretty good,
Bay
pretty good
to finish the year. So I think they stay the course, but I mean, I'd just be more concerned that this offense sucks. Like, their pass protection is terrible.
Offensive line is just decimated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, they have a lost season on their hands right now, and, you know, we'll see what direction the franchise takes at the end of this year. I don't think they make big, wide changes or anything because they still have a lot of talent there. But yeah. I think you're lowering expectations across the board for all these players.
The thing is, they're not out of it, though, so it's not like they're going to fold up right now. I mean, they're 4-7. Atlanta's leading that division at, what, 7-4?
Think so.
So, yeah. I mean, they're not out of it.
Crazier things have happened in the NFC South.
And they've won this division like 2-3 years ago at 7-8-1. Like, this this is a team that...
I forgot about that. That's
right. We also saw flashes in the second half of that team from last year. Things got clicking for them. They got their swagger. Guys were fired up on the sideline. Like, we know that team is in there. Like, it's there. It's just there's a lot of struggles right now, like Harmon said, with the offensive line and stuff. So I wouldn't be too worried. I mean, you know, I'm not starting Cam this week, but down the stretch, he's fine. He had over 20 points today, too.
All right, let's go to the waiver wire. And our waiver wire guru, Alex Gelhar.
Expert.
Guru.
Waiver wire expert.
Well, it ain't pretty these days out there.
It's not.
Wendell Smallwood didn't get picked up as much as I would have expected last week. So he's going to be a great spot start if he's available, if you need him tonight. You probably won't even listen to this before that happens.
Right.
But pick him up in the future. Harmon's favorite player, Kenneth Dixon.
Yeah, buddy.
Splitting work evenly with Terrence West.
Buddy.
It's not a great spot, but literally, like, if you're looking for anything at running back, he at least provides something. And then handcuff your top guys. Jalen Richard, speaking of handcuffs, seems to have jumped DeAndre Washington, who was a healthy scratch yesterday. So he's a little more interesting. And my boy Rex Burkhead, like I said.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, he was a deep sleeper last week, came up with like 48 total yards.
So. All right, tell me why Malcolm Mitchell.
Malcolm Mitchell, over the last 2 weeks, has seen a huge jump in playing time with other people injured. Like when it was Hogan and Gronk 2 weeks ago, he got a big spike. And then all of his targets, I'm pretty positive, came after Gronk went out this past week. So he's a role player. Tom Brady trusts him. He's good, as Harmon can attest. And I think, you know, you kind of want to ride this wave, especially with Bennett aggravating his ankle injury and Gronk being a huge question mark.
Yeah, I think one of the things that makes Mitchell valuable for the Patriots, they have all these small wide receivers, and he's just a big body in the red zone. If they don't have their tight ends 100%, he'll stick out for
Hogan,
Brady.
Hogan's bigger, though. We always forget that.
Hogan's bigger than Mitchell?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I think so, but Hogan's pretty much just been a deep threat all year.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that, so my, if I could, and I love Malcolm Mitchell, but if I could throw a little cold water on him, like having much value the rest of the season, it would be that in both games, it was so directly tied to the injury that he had value. Like in week 11, he became the ISO X receiver when Chris Hogan went down.
Okay.
And he had 98 yards receiving. Then last week, his two touchdowns came in the red zone, which I would be hard-pressed to imagine would come if Gronkowski was healthy. So if everybody's playing, it's hard for me to think that Malcolm Mitchell has much of a fantasy viable role.
What about this week?
No, that's why I'm saying you grab him now with all the injuries around there, because he could be viable again when guys are out.
Yeah, because like I said, I love Mitchell. I think he's great. Like, I think he's going to be a really, really good player for them in the long term.
Both of these guys.
Did you chart him?
Yes.
And what did you see?
He was a huge favorite. I thought he was like a clear. I think I had him as like the sixth best receiver in the class.
Holy hell! Okay,
Harmon loved him. But yeah, I'm not going to play both of these guys if Gronk comes back, because then Gronk and Edelman and Deion Lewis/James White are going to eat too many targets.
That's a lot of options in that offense.
Yeah. But these are guys to own, because if those guys go out, like boom, you've got a good starter and you don't have to chase him later.
I like it.
And as we already talked about, Marcus Wilson and Cameron Meredith both saw a ton of volume. This Bears offense, question mark. So, Adam, right now, this is kind of the state of the waiver wire. Jared Cook hasn't played yet. Probably not going to have a great game, but we saw what he did previously.
Why not?
The Eagles are great at covering tight ends, and he's Jared Cook. Like,
all right, where can you find these? Where can you find the articles?
Real quick, I just want to throw two more out there. Okay. One, Colin Kaepernick. Been talking about him in the waiver wire for weeks now, but dude needs to be owned. He's an every week starter at this point. Yep. He's averaging more rushing yards per game than Todd Gurley, we saw from Adam Levitan on Twitter. And he's had like 20-plus points, I think, in like four of his last six starts, and he's at a floor of around 15 points. So
it's pretty good.
Even if he has a bad week, like fantasy-wise, it's still pretty good. And then Vance McDonald has seen 8, 6, 6, and 6 targets the last 4 weeks.
Okay.
And three of those weeks, he's had a 50-plus receiving yards and or a touchdown. So with tight end being a disaster, if you can get a guy that's going to at least give you 4 to 6 points, and you
I thought I was asking you guys about Vance McDonald this time last week, and you guys said no.
You hope he gets into the end zone, but
I still say no. I don't want to touch
Vance. Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but when we see Deion Sims and, you know, other jabronis being top 10 scorers at
tight end is hellacious.
It's awful. So that's just throwing it out there.
What the hell happened to that position group this year?
I don't know, but
it died.
This was supposed to be the year. It was like deeper than ever with new faces like Kobe Fleener in new spots and Ladarius Green.
Dwayne Allen has been freed from Kobe Fleener.
All Dwayne Allen is doing is getting in the way of Jack Doyle now.
Seriously. God, it makes me so angry. Play Jack Doyle. All right, let's talk about tell the folks where they can find that.
Yeah, NFL.com/waivers, NFL.com/deep dive for all those. Oh, and Tyreek Hill and Taylor Gabriel, I write about them in Deep Dive a little bit. Very interesting because of their speed and stuff, but both are still bit players. They're like the third most snap share among wide receivers, and
both their snaps are on the upswing. Though.
They have been on the upswing.
All right, let's talk about your top scorers from Sunday. Colin Kaepernick, 296 through the air, 3 touchdowns, 113 yards rushing. He had over 30 fantasy points. He was your top-scoring fantasy quarterback in standard leagues. Ridiculous. Drew Brees, 310 through the air, 4 touchdowns. He had 32 standard scoring points. Trevor Siemian, 368 and 3 touchdowns, 29 points. This was the most ridiculous score for me because he had, like, nothing in the first half. like I don't know. I don't exactly know what the exact numbers are, but I felt like 300 of those yards came in the second half.
Well, there was one. It was one of those situations where
it was crazy.
On the one drive, he had 99 passing yards because of a penalty. It was like the same stuff with Jeff Janis in the playoffs. They talked about it on the broadcast, I think. How? Because he threw like a 50-yard pass to Sanders. Then I think he or somebody on the sideline got like a 15-yard penalty that backed up, and then he threw a touchdown to Sanders from that spot. So in one drive, he got 99 yards.
It was great.
Amazing.
Ryan Tannehill, 285 through the air, 3 touchdowns, 26 standard scoring fantasy points. Mark Ingram, your top scoring running back for the week, 100 of, or at least on Sunday. I didn't check the other
James,
days.
James, what's he on pace for now?
Actually, I think Franciszkiewicz will help me. What is
1,048 rushing yards.
Oh, yeah, it's happening.
He needed 150 rushing yards to get pushed.
So
over
what?
The, okay. All right, okay. 146 rushing yards. He added a few through the air as well. He had 2 combined touchdowns there. He was your top scoring running back from Sunday, at least. Shady McCoy, 134 total, 2 touchdowns. Also, that cheap two-point conversion, which was great. Love to see those. David Johnson, 58 rushing. 103 receiving.
Yeah.
That's a weird number.
Yeah.
1 touchdown there for DJ. Jonathan Stewart, 96 rush yards and 2 touchdowns. And to the poor schmuck I told not to play Jonathan Stewart, I apologize.
Highest rushing total this season for Jay Stu there.
Is that right? 96 yeah. yards? Oh, boy. Devontae Freeman, 76 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Saved by those touchdowns for sure.
Yeah.
It's so weird. A lot of that game, he looked completely ineffectual. And then... and he breaks out some very nice runs and gets those 2 touchdowns as well. Michael Thomas for New Orleans, 108, 2 touchdowns. We'll get to more in that New Orleans passing game in just a second. Mike Evans, 104 and 2 touchdowns against Seattle. He did almost all of his damage in like the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Peter Gabriel, looking right into your
big time.
75.
I didn't even notice until you had written that on the run.
Yeah, I just saw it now as well.
75 receiving yards, 27 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns for Taylor Gabriel. Emmanuel Sanders, 162 through the air.
Manny.
What the hell?
Sanders becomes just the latest receiver to just rip apart the Chiefs at the left wide receiver spot.
Is that right?
I tweeted out the list last night during the game. I think I've put it in an article like every week or every week in the last few weeks. Sanders got 78% of his receiving yards when lined up at left wide receiver.
Okay.
That's been a trend throughout the entire year. Even Benny Fowler burned.
It's a trend.
Philip Dane. Yeah, no, that's like a legit, that's actually a legitimate trend.
A hashtag trend.
I mean, I think Antonio Brown was one. Allen Robinson got off the schneid against them.
Who does KC got in week 13?
Falcons.
Julio Jones.
And?
Julio Jones.
Is Sanu going to?
Well, Jones takes 51% of his snaps from the left wide receiver spot, so I would think that he's going to get matched up with Philip Gaines a lot. And then I can't remember who they play in week 14, but then in week 15, they get the Titans. So Tajae Sharpe,
hello.
Week 14 is Oakland.
That's Amari Cooper, who was another receiver that fits into this. Into this narrative. Trend already.
I like it.
So that's something just to pay attention to.
Friends and trends.
Friends and trends, baby.
Odell Beckham Jr., 96 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns for him from the tight end position. Tyler Eifert, your top scoring tight end from Sunday, 68 yards and a touchdown. What is that? That's less than 14 points. And he's your top scoring tight end.
Woo.
Oh, boy. Deion Sims, 53.
Cool.
Deion Sims.
Cool. Nobody probably saw it. Good job, guys.
Seriously, 53 yards and a touchdown. Lance Kendrick. Hey! Wait a second.
Whoa!
All right, Marcus, you got me, buddy.
Wait a second.
I'm not even going to gloat about it because it's Lance Kendrick.
So I know.
51 and a touchdown.
I was mad when he scored that touchdown.
after you know, you clapped at franchise, like, you started a bad player on a bad offense or whatever.
Yeah.
I figured you would clap back at him this time and be like, I started a bad player on a bad offense and got fantasy points.
He sent me that on Snapchat, actually.
Of course he sent it on Snapchat.
Of course he did.
Millennial over there.
Hey, man, you know what? Let me ask you about this, though. Does he have a little bit of rapport with Jared Goff from what you saw?
I think he does.
Young quarterbacks and tight ends, peanut butter and jelly.
I think that's like kind of what it is that, you know, because he doesn't want – because Goff right now is not – I don't know how comfortable he is pushing the ball down the field. Not that he won't do it because we saw it on the touchdown pass to Tavon Austin. But when things start to break down around him, then you know you've got that outlet there and it's your tight end. So I think, at least for now, I think as Goff gets more comfortable, we'll see him throw to Kendrick less, but while he's still figuring things out, that's going to be an option for him.
He has 14 targets over the last 2 weeks, which only trails Kenny Britt.
The week I started him, he had some crazy amount of targets going into that game, too, and then had 0 points. So.
Nothing.
Tight ends are fun.
Delanie Walker, 50 yards and a touchdown there. All right, let's talk about disappointments, shall we? Russell Wilson, 151 passing yards, 2 interceptions. Saved his day a little bit with 80 rush yards. But overall, he had less fantasy points than Tolzien.
Boom.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Looks like we nailed it, Gohar.
Yeah.
Start Scott Tolzien.
Eight points. Cool.
That is exactly what we said.
Win your week with Scott Tolzien.
Oh. Woo!
Get out of here.
Julio Jones. Well, let me ask you guys about this. Any concerns here from that loss? That was a weird game. I mean, on paper, you would think, okay, they're going to do well. They had no Earl Thomas.
Actually,
you thought it might be a little bit more high scoring.
Sorry, have to interrupt. We have to be accurate here. Per NFL.com standard scoring, Russ did beat Tolzien.
Oh, he did?
Who uses that?
10.04 to 8.8.
Aha!
Got it.
Well,
I win.
Man, it was looking so good on Friday when he was a top five fantasy.
Oh, yeah, after six teams had played. Cool. But, top five out of six.
Anyways, moving past that. But as for Russell Wilson, I think he just played poorly in this game. Like, I was looking at the...
Didn't he get sacked like a million times?
He got sacked a ton.
It was weird.
You know, it was against a defense that was beatable coming in, and I was actually looking at the next
beatable.
Gen stats.
It's one of the worst defenses in the league.
I was looking at the next gen stats from this. Doug Baldwin ranked second most in separation on his targets with 4.3 yards of separation at his targets. Tyler Lockett was actually fourth on the week with 3.9. So his receivers were getting open. He was just missing throws.
Weird.
Interesting.
All right. Lockett actually played more snaps than Jermaine Kearse for the first time all year.
Okay, here we go.
But how many catches did he have?
Let's go,
zero.
Let's go, T-Lo. You know what? I think we should look into this. What is the Russell Wilson home and away split this year? I feel like
no clue.
I feel like that's emerging
As a trend.
Keep talking, and I could tell you.
All right. Well, we'll look into it. Julio Jones had 35 receiving yards in Week 12. It's the fourth time in 11 games, folks, that he's had 35 receiving yards or less.
Or is it the seventh time in 11 games that he's had 35 receiving yards or more?
Whoa.
See how I switched that around?
Inception.
See what I did there?
Yo, numbers never lie, James.
Nope.
Mind blown.
I like
it. Was Patrick Peterson just shadowing him the whole game?
Well, it didn't really matter because Patrick Peterson was hurt. And, actually, Julio's actually had decent numbers against Pat Pete.
He was on him for, I think, 19 pass plays and had 5 catches for 31 yards. Or 3 catches for 31 yards on 5 targets against Patrick Peterson. Mm.
7 targets overall, 4 receptions for Julio Jones. But it's so weird. We're talking about one of the best receivers in the game, 35 receiving yards, 4 times in 11 games.
We've had this conversation like 5 times because Atlanta has other weapons.
The Falcons scored 5 touchdowns. Freeman and Coleman split 3, and Gabriel had the other 2.
Nobody's expecting Taylor Gabriel.
Right. Those were like gadget fluky type plays.
But Gabriel has 5 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He's on an Antoine Smith like run.
Yeah.
He is.
Right. And I were tweeting about that.
GNU. What the hell is wrong with
Didn't we?
Sanu.
Sanu had
8 catches.
Say on the podcast Friday that Gabriel might be a sneaky good play?
That him and Sanu could
I believe you did. Nice work.
Nice work. Good job.
Whatever. I'll wait for my raise on that.
Amari Cooper. 22 yards on 7 targets, 4 receptions. What happened there?
Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the thing, you know, it's funny about the, there are parallels between Amari Cooper and Julio Jones. I mean, one, they went to Alabama, so Alabama wide receivers, am I right?
BSP.
Okay.
But both of those guys have very high ceilings, but there's also a very real chance on any given week that they could put up a really big dud for you. And I think, they will be interesting to watch next year in terms of where they get drafted as to whether or not people pay attention to their overall season totals or are looking at them as week-to-week propositions.
Yeah.
I think those are two very different stories.
All right. Allen Robinson, 24 yards, 4 targets, 2 receptions. We talked about him.
Sad.
Let's talk about Brandon Cooks.
Who?
Can we? He played on 49 offensive snaps.
Are you sure? Is there proof?
This is a week where Drew Brees threw for 1 million yards and 1 million touchdowns.
49 points they put up.
Brandon Cooks, zero targets, zero receptions, 0 yards.
Ugh.
What? What happened in
Apparently,
this game?
Apparently, Sean Payton said it was just the coverages that dictated Brandon Cooks never got the ball.
Well, I mean, this is...
Zero targets.
The Rams just shut him down.
Yeah.
Did they? I mean, they scored 40-some-odd points.
Well, they shut Cooks
shut
down.
One player down. It's too bad that there were so many others.
I mean, Brandon Coleman had one catch for 3 yards, and it was a touchdown.
Right.
Like, get that out of here.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the Saints have a lot of pass catchers, and, like, I think I said this about Mike Evans the other week, that, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
This was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
It did happen.
It happened in, like, I mean, Cooks is not like a clear-cut number one receiver.
No.
Michael Thomas is that guy. Michael Thomas was the guy that balled out.
So, he had a good game?
I mean, it was definitely it was shocking. Like, the straight-up zero was shocking. But
yeah,
we know that – and especially because it was at home. But we know that Brandon Cooks has big ups and really low downs.
So
yeah.
Take the L, crying Jordan yourself, and move on.
Thomas Rawls, 38 yards rushing for him.
Savage.
I didn't actually watch the Seattle game. But what were the takeaways here from Thomas Rawls? Did you guys like what you saw? Like what you saw?
I mean,
obviously the offense was completely a mess. But
he was running as violently as he ever runs, but they were just down early, and he only had, I think, 12 or 13 carries in the game.
Yeah, 12 carries.
Oh, so, that you know, I think they missed their pass-catching back, C.J. Procise.
You mean the number one PPR running back?
That's right, until he got hurt.
Okay.
He was that.
He was hashtag on pace for that.
He was on
true.
Pace.
But, I mean, true. They were, you know, they needed – Rawls isn't a pass-catching back. They could have used a guy like that. They got this guy, George Farmer, who was like a cornerback on a practice
George
squad.
George Farmer, former USC speedster George Farmer.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he's like number three behind Alex Collins, but I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have.
The only thing we really knew about him in college is that he was fast.
Okay.
That was about all he...
Didn't he flip between receiver and like other positions?
Yes.
I think it was just a game flow thing for Rawls.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you guys have any concerns long term?
I mean...
Well, next week they play the Panthers, who have been tough against running backs, so a little bit worried there.
All right, we'll see. Rob Gronkowski, he had a zero. Gates, he had a zero.
Weird.
Gary Barnage, practically zero.
Barnage is just not a thing.
Yeah,
stop trying to make him happen.
All right.
He's toast.
Yeah, even in good, like, that's a good spot against the Giants' defense and versus tight ends.
And, like, McCown's been back for a few games this year, and it just hasn't panned out.
It's all he's the past, and Terrell Pryor and Corey Coleman are the future.
The future. Future, bro.
Yeah, bro.
All right, let's close out the show with a round of Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hugs. Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling around.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. We're going to start with the Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matthew Franciszkiewicz. What's up, pal?
All right, I'm struggling for a Daily Dap, so I'm just going to Daily Daps the new Weekend album that came out Friday.
Boom.
Yeah,
is it in the top 40?
Chies. I'm sure it is.
Is it in the top 40?
There are some really, really good tracks on there. One of my favorites is called Secrets, where he samples and uses lyrics from two New Wave 80s songs. I forget. I think it's The Romantics and Tears for Fears.
Ooh.
I like Tears for Fears.
But it's a really cool song. The beat's really cool. Kendrick Lamar tears it up on a track.
Ooh.
It's a really long album, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Which you don't see much these days.
Don't.
Usually albums are like 45 minutes, but this one's
got
to be well over an hour. So if you're into The Weeknd, dude, if someone there's a track on there where if someone was like, hey, this is Michael Jackson's new song, I would believe them because his voice is so reminiscent of Michael Jackson.
I'm going to have to go check it out. All right,
it's
very good. Alex Gellhart, what you got?
First off, I saw Allied on Saturday. Birthday, just like to go see a movie sometimes, get some beers, did both of that. A
little Brad Pitt action?
I enjoyed Allied. I was surprised the critics, it was only like 60-something percent.
Oh, really?
Some people were like, meh, but I dug it. I dug the performances, I dug the story, I thought it was really well-paced, good, like, you know, twists and turns.
Hard to have a bad movie with Brad Pitt and
Marion Cotillard,
yeah, Cotillard,
Robert Zemeckis directing it. Yeah, so I very much enjoyed it. And then just Daily Daps to all the people that have given me birthday wishes on Twitter, in person, and you know, text and all
happy
that
birthday,
stuff.
Happy birthday, pal!
Thank you. Thanks everybody for that. Made turning 28 feel pretty good.
This is my question: what did you guys do?
Drank.
Well, just drank. No. It was just very simple. I went to see Allied, then we went to the Gulp, and then we drank some beers.
Fabulous. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's up?
My Daily Dap goes out to college football because it was a really good weekend of college football. I mean, obviously, it kicked off on Saturday with Michigan and Ohio State. And
holy hell.
As somebody who did not have a rooting interest one way or another.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool to sit and watch. I couldn't imagine, actually.
Those unis are ugly for Ohio State.
The helmets I was not really feeling. I don't know. Just the dark helmets were kind of weird to me or whatever. But I think the most underreported and amusing story in college football over the weekend was the defensive struggle played by Pitt and Syracuse. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not.
It was a hard-fought win for the Pitt Panthers by a tidy little score of 76-61.
What?
Oh, man.
Someone sent me a screenshot of the game recap, and I thought I saw Pitt and Syracuse.
Wait, that's not a basketball score?
That's what I thought. I saw Pitt-Syracuse. I saw the score. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that Syracuse was playing Pitt. Oh!
It's a football game.
It's a football
game. So when you said defense, you meant offense.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
He was doing a thing.
I get it.
I was doing a thing.
Okay, I got you. Didn't Navy drop 75 on some poor schmuck?
They did, yeah.
Some poor schmuck.
It was one guy.
Just one dude.
Yeah, but must have been if they're scoring 75. Must have been. That doesn't seem cool.
Not cool.
All right, Matt Harmon, what you got?
I actually have two today, which is weird.
What?
I normally barely remember that we do this thing.
I know.
So speaking of memory for my first one,
okay.
I want to give a Daily Daps out to the tour guide that toured my sister around at Warner Brothers Studio, which we did that studio tour this weekend.
Oh, that's
toured
great.
You around just her? You just
I said
bailed
us.
Out?
What?
You said her.
You said her.
You guys
I said us.
You said phrasing.
Her. Yeah. But
you guys are
I saw weird. I saw the picture. From the Friends set?
The Friends, which is great because, you know, she's a huge Friends.
Oh, is she?
So basically, that was like, she's like, well, spend all this money basically just for this moment at the very end of it.
Perfect.
But you know, it was funny because I hate Friends. I don't like Friends at all. So, like, she posted it on Facebook and was like, so, you know, it's, oh my God, it's a really good moment, whatever. And I just commented back, I was like, yeah, mediocre show, but the set was nice. which is funny because, like, at the studio, of course, I don't watch a lot of movies. So the whole time the tour guide is like, you guys remember seeing this movie in 1988? And I was like, no, I don't remember seeing these movies. But it was really cool to be there to see. I mean, it is, you know, even a person like me that doesn't, not as much into movies as maybe the rest of you guys, like,
yeah,
it's still sick to see all that. And what was so impressive about this guy's name was Mark, was he just remembered all that stuff. Like, I can't even remember we do this segment every two times a week. This guy was remembering things from years ago, and I realized it's a script and all that, but it was just, he was incredibly enthusiastic, and I just like to see people that clearly love their job. I told Gelhar I think that's his future line of work once we all flame out.
I retire and work part-time as a tour guide.
Because he was like
on the WB line.
Yeah, man, chill and talk to people, tell them all the stories.
He was super positive, and that you know, that's a Gelhar trait too.
That's
but anyways,
true.
So that was my first
That's
one.
True.
And my second one I want to go out to the listener that tweeted at us at one point this weekend. I love the podcast, guys, but, you know, you don't have to yell into the mics. You can just talk into them.
I think
their,
it was a female fan.
It was. I don't remember their handle, but I want to give a Daily Daps out to them because it's important for the listeners of the show to give us feedback like that, even if it's
not
good.
And actually, funny enough, I think before that last episode, I was like, ooh, I think the mics were a touch hot on that one. So then I saw that and I was like, but what are you gonna do?
Well, you could just turn your volume down.
I try to keep it down. Yeah, that's my always thing. People are like, it's loud. I'm like, there's this button on the side of your iPhone that you can click down like four times. And, whoa! But no, we do appreciate feedback, like segments, other stuff like that. You know, whatever. It was speaking of as tangent off of that, but I listened to the Men in Blazers podcast, and they cover the Premier League a lot and the men's national team and some MLS and stuff. And one of them was in England, where they're both from, and he's like, man, love the podcast. He's like, just stop talking about the men's and women's national team. He's like, nobody over here cares. And he's like, well, we appreciate the feedback, but we got to talk about that. Like, we care about it, and it's part of the show. It's an American podcast, too. But so it's always good to have feedback from people and know what you guys are liking and not liking
feedback.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, and we probably should give a Daily Daps to Max, the listener that we met this weekend.
I realized that as soon as I was done with mine.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we met Max when he plays in the Beard League with Franchise and I. He's from Australia. He was our only international.
He's from Australia?
But yeah, so he's visiting the LA area, and he hit me up a couple months ago, like said he'd be in town. I was like, well, sure, we'll take you out for some beers.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's scary as hell.
It was great. It was funny.
Why is that scary?
Anyone in the Danger Zone League listening to this, I'm not going out with beer to you guys at all.
That's what you mean. You meet him in a public place, James.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't like, hey, come meet me in this back alley, you know, where there's no witnesses or whatever.
We're not like, come to the apartment, Max. We'll welcome you into our home. Dude, we've never met from a foreign country. Max was really, really sweet guy, though. And right. It was funny.
He's in first place in Division 2 in the Beard League. Just want to get that in there.
Wait, where are you guys?
Oh, I'm like probably last.
Where are you?
I think I started weak, but I've got back up to 6-5. It's been a tough year.
But I did feel bad for him because he was telling us a story of how he became an NFL fan. He bought Madden like 2002 when Marshall Faulk was on the cover.
Sick!
Right? And it was when the Rams had just lost the Super Bowl, so he was like, oh, I can root for this team. Like, yeah. They're not champions. I won't be a front runner.
Yeah.
And then since then, the Rams have gone, oh,
horrible time to start becoming a Rams fan.
And he saw his first NFL game, Jared Goff's first start in the rain in Los Angeles.
It was still pretty cool. He got to come see the first start, and that's why he did the trip, was because the Rams were in Los Angeles. So he said to his girlfriend, like, hey, let's do a U.S. tour and go see
that's
the Rams.
That's great.
Sick.
And now we know James Coe, not a man of the people. Alex Gelhar, Matt Harmon, men of the people. No. James Coe, not man of the people.
No, I am not the people's champ at all. Not at all. Danger zone, league entrance. Sorry, bruh. Like, no, don't reach out. Do not add him.
Do not add James.
If you're in the LA area, don't at me, dude.
Stay away.
Not going to happen. Sorry, pal.
Well, we'll just cancel that. And just meet and greet.
Look, at us, and we'll tell James we're going out for beers and tell him that you're going
to
be there.
I'm kidding. Jesus. Good Lord.
We're just riding with
every podcast has to have the villain.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Although, in reality, I probably won't be.
He barely meets up with us.
That's a good point, actually.
True.
That's actually hashtag true.
Hashtag dad life.
Yeah, that's also a good point. I will daily dap. I got a little taste of the cocaine cookies that are from Mama John's.
Like, what are you talking?
He looked at me and he said cocaine, and I was like, what?
Disclaimer: not actually cocaine.
Not cocaine.
Are we sure? Are we sure about that?
I have watched her make them before. There is no
My name is Matt Harmon. I do not endorse this message.
Well, and then I also thought for a second, you were looking at me. I was like, wait, did Coe come up with a new thing on his own that he's appropriating his name into? Like,
cocaine.
Cocaine.
When it hits you just right.
Yeah, the cocaine cookies.
Stop.
Let's go.
Anyways, my mom's cookies.
Yes, your mom's cookies.
Yes.
They are delicious.
Had a little bit of the, what was that, a little chocolate chip?
Just these little, like, poofy chocolate chip ones she makes. There's a little something.
They're little bites.
Yeah,
dough balls.
Because they're not powdered. Like they're not flat like they are. Well, I don't know what it is, but it's like they're like a little rounder and they're softer.
The nuggets.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, you're laughing because you said some powder or something.
This is rude. I can't do this.
Chocolate chip nuggets.
Yeah, she puts this little white powder. I don't know what it is.
They're white in color.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to mute my mic.
Probably flour.
This is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Are we sure? It's like, look, we don't know whether Matt Harmon's from West Virginia.
Okay.
All right.
Now my mic's unmuted.
All right. Wait, look, your sister herself said.
All right, look, James.
We're not sure.
She's a liar.
To be frank, though, if she puts cocaine in anything, it's the white choco pretz.
Oh, yeah. Okay, those might actually be.
Oh. Those are absurd.
Those are good.
And we should get it. Well, I'm sure she's already planning the next airdrop for the holidays, but.
That's around the corner,
pretzels,
man. That is around the corner.
Those are cut with chocolate.
I mean, cut with chocolate. I am
pure white chocolate.
Holy hell. Are we going to leave all this in the show?
Yeah, dude.
Nobody important listens to this podcast.
No.
That's true. I will also daily dab the Easter eggs on these podcasts. So here's the thing. Like, I listen to like 15, 20 minutes of every podcast, but very rarely do I, you know, hang around for those Easter eggs. And I don't know why, but I caught one of them. I mean, first of all, they're all hilarious.
Can you explain what an Easter egg is?
I'm not going to. But here's the bottom
line.
Can
we please explain to the people that I didn't know until a couple weeks ago?
But no, but see, that's – you're ruining it. No.
Google.com.
Yeah, Easter eggs. I will say this. I actually then burned like an hour of my life listening to all the Easter eggs.
Oh, going back to old episodes?
Because I'm like, what did I miss here?
Yeah, they're not always there, I will say.
I know.
I only put it if there's something worthwhile.
But man, they are good.
Yeah.
They are super, super funny. And Daily Daps, so Daily Daps really to you twice. One, for your mom's Coke cookies. And two, for those Easter eggs.
Yeah, that takes
God
a little bit extra
you.
Work there.
There we go.
And well, happy birthday to Alex Gellar.
And happy birthday
to you.
It's
also up to you guys for saying dumb stuff before the thing.
No problem.
You mean just talking as per usual? Yeah.
Yes.
As per usual.
No problem.
So
I think what the inception of that, though, was when we had that mix-up episode where the whole unedited audio came out.
Oh.
There's curse words, but a lot of people were like, man, I love hearing you guys talk. Like, you're just like normal dudes. So then I was like, every once in a while after that, I'd be like, oh, this is a good example of us being normal dudes. And
right.
Now we've... we've been having more, or like just like a banter, like
yeah,
just
yeah.
coming in and being like, let's start the show.
I don't understand what people think
pre-show.
We are if they don't think we're normal dudes.
We are fantasy robots.
Yeah,
well,
right? Like they power us down right here at the end of the day.
Look, it's why TMZ is so popular. You get to see these guys outside of the screen.
They're just like us, stars.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're just a bunch of idiots. I tell my, yeah, I don't know.
That's true.
They look for bargains at DSW, too.
How are we doing? We've been in here too long.
I need that 10% off at the Shoe Barn, dude.
Reals.
Yeah, no, that's for reals, actually. All right, so there you go. That's the show for the WizKid from Wisconsin. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, and Matt Franciscovich. I'm James Gell. We're out.
See you later.
Oh, by the way, in the content meeting this morning, when Tali went over, he was just like, no podcasts today. And then Crawley was like, franchise? And I was like, yeah, we're doing our podcast, but nobody cares about us. And then they all had a laugh about it. We're like,
yeah, it's true.
We agree with you. You're correct.
It's funny because it's true.
They were like, yeah, that's true. I mean, no one cares about you guys, so let's just sweep it under the rug and move on.
Oh, my God.
I was like, wow, okay, thanks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.